Welcome, everyone, to the God Friend and Me podcast by Fantastic Geek. My name is Matt, and joining me, as always, is Pete. Good day, Pete.
Good night, Matt. Coming to you from the car on the way out of New York City from the Paley Center, where we have seen the God Friend and Me Paley Live panel.
The Paley Live panel's always a real treat. It's a small, intimate space, a great opportunity to see people. Of course, this particular time being the cast of God Friend and Me, as well as with creators Stephen Lillian and Brian Winbrandt. And Pete, we were treated on this cold February night. We were treated to the promise of watching an episode. The Paley Center had said it was going to be a brand new episode. And what did we get?
We got the episode we saw most recently, episode 114, The Trouble with a Curve, which we also have a podcast available about. Not the new one that we will see Sunday, March 3rd.
But that's okay. We were there. We were watching with new friends, some of which it seemed had not seen the episode before. So they were certainly happy there. Then once that particular portion was over, the Reverend A.R. Bernard was there to moderate things. And Pete started out with a question asking everybody on the panel about their sense of spirituality.
Some really, really thoughtful answers. And I think the trap with a panel such as this at a Paley style event would be to give really scripted, rehearsed answers. And the cast here between Brandon Michael Hall, Violet Bean, Serge Suresh, Joe Morton, and Javicia Leslie, really, really thoughtful in their responses.
Yes, interesting to hear that basically down the entire line, at least of actors, none were kind of actively spiritual in a, you know, attending weekly, you know, trips to church or synagogue or mosque or whatever it might be, Quaker Meeting House, as Violet Bean mentioned her upbringing.
Really interesting to learn that she was raised as a Quaker and, you know, in the advent of receiving the role of Kara on the show has thought about, you know, down the street there's a Quaker Meeting House from where she's living, checking it back out. You know, I think really revealing in this panel.
We also had some input from co-creators and co-executive producers, Stephen Lillian and Brian Winbrandt. Brian Winbrandt, somebody who considers himself an atheist and kind of, I don't want to say unabashedly so, I don't think he was trying to convert anybody one way or another, but kind of very upfront with his view. And then Stephen Lillian, somebody who has embraced his faith more so. So kind of this aha moment, I think, where everyone said, oh, here's the central dialogue of the show. It's how these two guys view religion differently.
I mean, listen, they were very upfront to this panel being put on at Paley this month, Black History Month, with such a diverse cast as it offers, you know, as the two white guys who came up with the show and how important it is to be diverse on the show. But in terms of their spirituality, the diversity there, Winbrandt saying he very much believes in science. I did not know Stephen Lillian talked about having lost his father when he was very young. He is a believer, and how that informs the show and how that informs the character in particular of Miles.
To get into some of the character nitty gritty, there was a question from the moderator about that Miles and Kara sizzle between them. Will they or won't they? And as can be expected, certainly this idea that you know, they weren't going to reveal and they get married at the end of the first season or something like that. But particularly Brandon Michael Hall talking a little bit about the chemistry between the two characters. And I think it was a little bit later he circled back to the fact that these two have a friendship and a common understanding, which is the basis of their interactions.
It was really interesting. On Sunday, the night of the Oscars, Stephen Lillian tweeted out a photo of his laptop and I recognized the program and the icons visual there. Final Draft, which is a screenwriting program, same one that I use as well. It's pretty standard throughout the industry, but all that was visible was end season one. So the theme that I took away in particular from his discussion tonight was that they try to always leave in an uplifting place. And I have to imagine now that they know they're renewed for season two, there'll be no dark, deep cliffhanger of, and Rakesh has been fired and the podcast is over and the fellowship is broken. See you in September.
Yeah, they spoke a couple of times about the dramatic tension within, I don't want to say necessarily the conceit of the show, but kind of the ongoing conceit of the show, which is to come up with that conflict from a place that was internal and not necessarily external, as the most wise Joe Morton said, I believe, at one point. There also was the question, Pete, and I thought quite a good one. What would you do if God friended you? And across the board, everyone said, I would accept, I'd go for it, except for... yeah, who said he'd be quite concerned as an atheist?
Yeah, and I found it really refreshing that somebody was able to speak from that. I think it was a little bit of a fish in the barrel type of situation. Here you've got, I mean, the litany of accomplishments and credentials that Reverend Bernard had that the Paley Center curator pointed out beforehand. You know, this is somebody who's on Oprah's speed dial. This is somebody who's raised a tremendous congregation from a storefront. And I have to say, Matt, it's one of the best moderated panels I think you and I have ever been to. And we've been to hundreds of these at this point.
I would certainly agree. And I think that it helps to get somebody who's a fan of the TV show and somebody who's also a fan of the milieu in which the TV show exists. I think maybe the only competitor in terms of the Fantastic Geek era of going to panels like this, I think of Dr. Mae Jemison, who did the first season Discovery panel at New York Comic-Con. She's somebody, you know, who is a Star Trekker herself, as well as, you know, has this, you know, in that she's an astronaut, for those not in the know, and also being a fan of Star Trek. So it helps when it's not kind of, I don't know, the fanboy approach or whatever it is, because he really was fantastic.
He was an inspired choice. And I got to tell you, when I saw that it was going to be hosted by somebody of a religious background in terms of a member of the clergy, I got a little worried about the soft soap approach. And while he didn't ask the hard-hitting questions, the hardest we got, apart from the spirituality, was Miles and Kara, will they or won't they? But that's not really the approach that a panel like this calls for, and he deftly handled it.
He did, and we also heard from Ms. Leslie at one point. She was asked the question, I think essentially, if I could reword the moderator's question a bit, I kind of took it as, what is your place in the story, given that this is Miles at the center, and a lot of it, at least emotionally, focuses on the relationship between Miles and his father. So the character of Allie, what place does she have there? On her response being that she's the woman of the family, with mom, fictional mom, having passed away, and women are sensible and reasonable, so she can bring some of that perspective in her character to the whole Finer family.
Yeah, and I think revealing, too, she was asked a little later on, you know, do you have a background in terms of psychology, playing someone who's studying for a psychological field? And you know, she was very forthright. She said, me, Javicia, I need therapy. she kept it real, and I think there was a level of authenticity we've not yet seen on the show. I think the character of the ones that appeared has the largest area of opportunity to grow. Certainly hopeful. I mean, the episode that we screened, having seen once already, the most recent episode where she moves in with Miles, her arc is on the way up. We don't fully know, obviously, where she's going to wind up yet, but looking forward to seeing how she evolves.
It was interesting to see all five actors there assembled, particularly from the perspective of this being in the view of Lillian Winbrand, and to be fair, I mean, in the casting and the way things are credited and whatnot, but to see it as this is the God friend in me cast, I think that we get that in an episode. We get that in every episode, but, you know, it's Miles on a mission with Kara while there is a side mission for Rakesh, who then gives input to the main mission, and, you know, and so on and so forth. To see everybody assembled there as the familiar faces each week for this show kind of was a reminder that, yes, there is, you know, doubtless Brandon Michael Hall is top of the call sheet, and, you know, and it's the mighty, sagacious, and long career Joe Morton, and some of these fresher faces and whatnot, that this really is a family of five actors making this show happen.
It is, and what Reverend Bernard really stressed, particularly to the audience assembled there, there might not be a time that a show like this is more needed or necessary with the climate that we're in. And without going into details and specifics, which I think might have been a little bit much and ham-handed, you know, Joe Morton, who is very vocal on social media, was tremendously eloquent, as was Serge Suresh, in terms of, you know, the diversity of this cast and what it means right now to be able to tell this story.
It was interesting to hear Serge Suresh speak about his some of his own religious background. He is somebody who, in, you know, as an adult, I will assume, or certainly in recent times, somebody who has not had religion play a big role in his life. Somebody who grew up in a Hindu house with a clear understanding of those traditions and those forces populating it, and then growing up in a Muslim neighborhood and having Christian teachers and kind of having, as he said, this very worldly view of otherness and togetherness, and everyone is different, therefore there's a sameness there. It was fascinating to hear him speak about that. Also, just kind of on an acting note, so to go from the very high to something a bit more pedestrian, it was interesting to hear in person his accent is a little bit more pronounced, or that is to say, he's kind of affecting more of a you know, American accent or non-regional American accent, whatever you want to call it, on the show, which I just thought was interesting. Like, oh, there's separation between the actor and the character.
It's funny that you say that, because I did not pick up on that. What I picked up on, like you mentioned previously, is just the tremendously diverse background that this man comes from and how grateful he is to be a part of telling this story.
We also had some interesting tidbits. One was the idea that Joe Morton has directed two episodes of God Friended Me. I am 99% sure, Pete, we have not seen either of those yet, which means in this second half, or what's left of it, what's left of this first season, Joe Morton helming two outings there, and that certainly is impressive indeed.
Driving a car as I am right now, really not the time to double check. But I don't believe he's directed one that we've seen yet. Maybe 115 that we're going to get on Sunday, March 3rd, is his first time out here. But that he's done two, great. Can't wait to see it.
Pete, using the magic of editing, I've just double-checked, and through these first 14 episodes, no Joe Morton Helmers there.
We would have definitely talked about it to this point.
Oh, absolutely. The first episode for which he is credited is going to be 116. Shall I give a title, Pete?
I mean, listen, I already know it. You know, you roll spoiler-free, as we all know. Probably not, Matt.
Well, so let's just say 116, which right now is slated for March 10th, and then no directorial or writing credits for 117 and 118, which I must remember for myself and remind you and the listeners, Pete, if we are looking at a at a 20-episode season, which it could be as much as 22, but I think kind of the wisdom was it's probably a 20-episode season. You know, that means here we are March on Friday, probably by mid-April. Well, that's going to be episode 120. Indeed, Pete, not to push one religion over the other, but that would line up perfectly with the season finale, or at the very least, episode 120 on Palm Sunday.
Yeah, I think it would be rather fitting. Unfortunately, we were not in a position to ask questions at the most recent Paley Live that we attended. They passed the microphone around for Jessica Jones last March. Someone came into the room maybe like a half hour before the panel on one side of the room, not our side, and passed out some cards to write some questions down, only two of or three of which actually got asked. So not quite sure we would have gotten one in there anyway.
I think certainly the questions that were on our lips got answered, the one being this kind of tension of it's a show without villains. You know, oftentimes it's misunderstandings, or it's lack of communication, or it's just simply different perspectives. You know, I think back to the episode where the mean old dad who owns the building is selling the building while we feel for the people in the building. Okay, landlords can sell buildings. That's kind of that's unfortunate, but that's how it goes. It's not that he's saying, aha, now I'm going to put poison in a well or something like that. So that question was answered. And what was the question that was on your mind had Stephen Lillian said, and now we shall hear from Peter?
Was certainly going to make the connection. Hey, here are the guys that do the podcast about the show that's about the guy who does the podcast. And certainly our history dating back with Lil Wynn back to 2012 with a little show called Alcatraz that was completely mismanaged by Fox. And thank God, Godfriend of Me is on CBS. And certainly not on CBS All Access. But I digress. I would have asked about the conversations in the writer's room with the mission of the week, with the case of the week, and social media, how they choose to really break those stories. Both Wynn Brandt and Lillian talked about how personal the pilot is to them, and then talked about taking these stories from their lives. So I'd be really interested to see, like, how much of this is drawn from them and the rest of the writer's room in terms of, I've seen this on Facebook, and then this happened, and this person knows this person, which led to this interaction. I think it could have been really meta in terms of discussing that. Didn't quite get to that level. We'll have to save that, Matt, for when we talk to them again soon.
It does occur to me, perhaps if another question had been asked, and certainly would have been low on everyone's list, but with the evolving appreciation or lack thereof of Facebook in the last, well, since the conception of the show, like, how has that impacted the show? And I think I know the answer, Pete. When's the last time somebody said Facebook on the show? It's just, look, there's a new account. Look, somebody's updated their status. Does it look like Facebook? Does it feel like Facebook? Absolutely. Does anybody say, and that's why we go to Facebook.com, because we can trust everything that it says, comrade.
It's an important point to bring up. And I'm playing back over the panel in my mind right now, and I'm not sure Facebook was even said at the panel.
I would agree with that. Certainly we had, you know, the more passive, you know, if God friended you, that kind of thing. I would agree, and probably it might be, you know, be one of these things that we don't use that F word anymore because, oh, yikes.
Yeah, and when you think of, I talk all the time, and given how much we use, you know, Matt and I use social media in terms of being podcasters, in terms of being people who interact with listeners and people who are watching the various shows that we podcast. And then there are the creatives and the cast members of these shows and how social media has flattened the world. But in terms of having this conversation about spirituality and, you know, Lillian is usually the one that's very quick to point out that this is not a spiritual show. The word that was used tonight that was bandied about quite a bit was the idea of connectedness. And certainly feel that not only with our rapport going back several years now with the creators of the show, but, you know, between the accounts that manage this show, between the people who watch this show, it certainly rings true.
Indeed, it was a surreal moment in the last week when the Fantastic Geek Twitter got a notification, and the notification was, God friended you, is now following you. And it was like, wait, then we podcast this show by the guy who podcasts the show who gets followed by the God account, and now the God friend of me account is what's going on?
Right. Who do we have to help?
Ooh.
Ourselves?
Maybe. It needs to recommend another thing or something. Well, Pete, this adventure at the Paley Center, certainly well worth the time and well worth the energy to come out to New York City, a fantastic panel, a fantastic time had by not just us, by, I dare say, everyone who was there.
Yeah, it really seemed, particularly during the screening of the episode, to have that done live and to see the way in which people reacted. And certainly Brian Winbrandt talked about that, you know, to be backstage and to hear the episode as it's been constructed. I mean, they didn't write this one, but obviously they control what goes into it. And to hear the reactions of people watching it, really unique experience, something we've not had happen with this particular show.
It is interesting that as connected as we all are by things like social media, how viewing is increasingly this this solitary thing. And it really was nice to have that viewing experience with, you know, a wide array of different ethnicities in the audience, different ages, and so on and so forth. This was certainly far from, you know, the Marvel crowd that we sometimes see stuff with, which itself is its own diverse bunch. But this certainly a unique experience, and one that I'm glad we're able to share with our listeners.
And again, you know, Black History Month, pointed out both by the moderator and by several of the Black class members, that this is the shortest month of the year. I dare say we have quite a bit of work to still do as far as equality, as far as the discussion is concerned, as far as everybody feeling comfortable in the current day and age, whether it's art in the discussion about Oscars or whether it's reality in terms of how people feel safe in their neighborhoods or on the streets. And this show is helping to advance that discussion.
It is amazing to think, Pete, that in this modern day and age of fractured audience viewing and the decreasing role of broadcast TV and whatnot, you have this very healthy broadcast show in terms of the ratings and the business end and all of that, something that really seems to have found a home on Sunday nights on CBS, even without football, you know, which had been a question a couple months ago, and just a show that really has settled into what's kind of counterintuitive in terms of, you know, there's not the killer of the week. There's not, you know, let's lean into TVMA. Let's lean into this modern stuff. It's almost constrained by its premise of having a positive outlook at the end of the day. And as Stephen Lillian said, that doesn't mean that every beat needs to always be positive, but you want to end up at a happy place when an episode is done with.
It's an optimistic show, and I think people have responded to it. I'm not quite sure that the Reverend Bernard had the most accurate numbers. He said it was the number one scripted thing on Sunday nights, which it almost assuredly is not, even with The Walking Dead's disgustingly dwindling numbers. But it's a popular show. It's definitely one of the most popular shows this new TV season. Matt, we have podcast this since August. It is February. We have not looked back, and we have enjoyed every moment of doing it.
And I think that's an excellent point, that it's a show that has not lost momentum, or it's not a show that was a 13-episode first half pitch that when you got to that 13-episode, you know, the episode 113, it was like, oh, yikes, now what do we do? With all due deference, say, to Lost, which at the beginning had no plan. It was like, oh, we're going to get canceled before we have to answer any of this stuff. Oh, no, now we have to answer this stuff. This is clearly a show that has been constructed with a concerted effort and one that certainly has met success. And seeing it at Paley, you know, a great pleasure for the both of us, and have to take a moment to thank some of the people that helped make it happen, particularly those who support us on Patreon.com.
This is 100% on them. Without our patrons, we do not attend tonight. So thank you for putting us in a position to bring this to you.
And certainly thank you to anybody who might consider in the future helping us out with our storage and bandwidth costs by visiting patreon.com/fantasticgeek. There's all sorts of goodies you can find on there, and little ways of us saying thank you.
Absolutely. You guys make this so easy for us to do. You know, this is not our full-time job. It's not yet. The more patrons we get on there, the closer we get to that. And you help us stick out in the crowd. So thank you.
Pete, the best part, though, is always going to be free. It's talking to you on Twitter. How can people do so?
You can find me on Twitter. I'm going to have to do this from memory, Matt, with hands at 10 and 2. You can find me on Twitter at Peter, P-I-E-T-E-R-J, Ketelaar, K-E-T-E-L-A-A-R, 10,321 followers. Can't be wrong.
Well, he only said it about 140 times in 2018, so I'm glad you have it memorized for the podcast. While I am personally on Twitter as Looking Back Lost, you can be in touch with the podcast by going to fantasticgeek.com, leaving a comment there, checking us out on email, checking us out on Twitter, where we are Fantastic Geek as well. But wait, Pete, there's more.
Facebook.com/fantasticgeek. You get the PH, you get the all one word, you like us today. We could be your next friend suggestion.
Ooh. Well, Pete, we will be back on the Pop Culture Podcast this upcoming weekend to talk Star Trek Discovery. And then, Pete, next week, we get to talk more God Friend and Me on the God Friend and Me podcast, whether you listen on the Pop Culture podcast feed or on the God Friend and Me feed. Regardless, we have some GFM in the future.
God Friend and Me, Star Trek Discovery. Before we know it, Matt, April, we'll be back with Cloak and Dagger. Some Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. around the corner in May. Jessica Jones coming this summer. It's a great time to be a geek.
That it is, particularly with some of the secret things ahead for the fall. But we'll save that discussion for another day. With that, Pete, I will say adios and buenos noches to all our listeners and give you the final God Friend of Me Paley word.
Good night.